show powered by PDC Energy. I'm Brady Hull, joined by the one and only Cole Facsimilion back there on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Susan and Cheryl handling the crowd duties. A big cheer for a blue Monday. You know, blue Monday, Colfax. It's a rough go today. Sky is falling. But we had good news, like, in the real world, which is good. The snow, I believe, really put a dent in all those fires that was just devastating for so long. And just seeing pictures and up around Grand Lake, Estes Park, the Cameron Peak fire. I mean, just, it was awful. But I do think the snow kind of hit at the right times and the right places. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. I took my kid out sledding. Yeah, I got him all decked out, got him in the, you know, the overalls and, you know, the coat. And he was like, all ready to go. He's stuffing his hands through the big coat, ready to rock and roll. And he wanted to go swing. We had a swing in the backyard. So, no, instead I'm dusting off the swing. It's freezing out there. Snow's blowing all over us. My kid's face is just bright red. He's having the time of his life. So then we're like, finally, at some point, we say, no, we got to go in. We got to go inside. But I got to try the sled. I have to try the sled, Colfax. I got it out. This kid's going to like sledding. So I put him on the sled, and he has his mittens on. And he's just holding his hands up, kind of like in Talladega Nights when Ricky Bobby's holding his hands up. Like, I'm not sure what to do with my hands. Gavin's just holding his hands up. He couldn't look more upset. He wasn't crying. He's fine. He's like, whatever, Dad. I'm doing this for you, bro. And so I'm pulling him around the backyard. He has no emotion on his face. He was smiling, singing, everything on the swing. Here, this is weird. Why am I so close to the ground? There is snow flooding the sled. I don't want to be here. So we did that for like three circles around our tiny little tree and unloaded inside. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there, Colfax. But it was good. I was glad to see all the snow. Shoveling I actually went outside this morning. And I was shoveling. I was like happy because we needed this snow. I love snow, but we really needed this. And it was, you know, prayers were answered. So that was awesome. I really appreciated that. 8 minutes after the hour, First Advantage text line 31996 31996. Pillow Fight Dan says, I'm sorry, Brady. My time in small community service has pushed me towards the dim light of cynicism rather than hope. Thank you for at least painting an optimistic picture. It's nice to know there is still light within the darkness. There's always light, my friend. I still think that this team, there's something good we can take from yesterday. This is where we agree. I don't think that Drew Locke is going to do that a lot. Now, I don't know that he has the it factor. I'm not sure. Sometimes to be a franchise quarterback, you don't have to have the it factor. We've seen plenty of quarterback in this league play for a team 5, 6, 7 years, kind of be their franchise guy, and then you kind of go, do they really have that it factor? Like Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, did those guys have the it factor? I don't think so. They're good, but see, the it factor means you are a superstar. You're Patrick Mahomes, you're Russell Wilson, you're Drew Brees, you're Tom Brady, you're those guys. Like Matt Ryan, just because you're a starting quarterback that puts up big numbers, are you constantly putting yourself in a position to win games? Are you and your team constantly winning games? And Falcons had that one beautiful year where they go, and maybe you could make a case more so for Matt Ryan, but Stafford's great stat guy, but it factor, no. So I don't know that Drew Locke has that. Kind of at times I thought he has, but this season for sure I'm not there. I know he's been out a lot, so it's a little unfair. But I will say that in that blowout, everything went wrong for the Broncos outside of, you know, the defensive performance. When you look at all these, everything that happened, we had somebody comment and say, oh, this defense was terrible, gave up 43. Did you watch the game? Two of those touchdowns, one was a kick return for a touchdown. Awful kick return coverage. Then the pick six by Drew Locke. But you had so many other things happen in this game. So, like, the Chiefs go down, score a touchdown right off the bat. Or the Broncos go three and out. Chiefs go down, score a touchdown. The Broncos go three and out again. And you're thinking, oh, boy. And the Chiefs are rolling right back down the field. It's going to be a long day. Well, AJ Alexander Johnson forces the fumble. The Broncos go down, score a touchdown. You're thinking, Well, you know, the dinosaur just turned the tide here for Denver. Brandon McManus misses the extra point. Never misses extra points. I mean, he was the hero of the day last week, and then he misses the extra point. So you find yourself down 7-6. So you at least you're in the game. Chiefs go down, get a field goal. Broncos fumble Melvin Gordon, but the Denver defense holds up. They force a punt. Then enter Drew Lock. Interception, pick six. But the Broncos bounced back, and Drew Lock had an okay drive. They worked their way down the field. They got a field goal. But then that's when the kick return for a touchdown happened. So this defense was fighting every step of the way. Chiefs get the touchdown. Broncos punt. Chiefs punt. End of the half. And it's bad. It's 24-9. But you still felt like you're one stop away and then you're one touchdown away from making this a game. Well, what do they do as we got into the second half? They forced a punt, three and out. The Broncos get it. That's the bad fumble. Gordon over the top. Ugh. Then the Chiefs answer with a field goal. They had to score. They had to get 1 yard. So there's another 3 points that the Broncos defense really couldn't help. So 17 right there. Broncos turn it over on downs. Chiefs get another field goal. I mean, this defense was fighting and pushing as hard as they could until finally that last interception led to a 57-yard drive by the Chiefs for a touchdown. That's when it was just this defense couldn't hold on anymore. Broncos go answer with a touchdown of their own. Made it 37-16. But I don't feel like every game's going to go that way. That was a weird game. Melvin Gordon on the pitch back to Drew Lock throws it over his head. What are the odds of that happening? You know, Drew Lock throws the pick six. That was a bad throw. Bad throw. Kick return for touchdown in this day and age is so damn rare, even with a bad kick return defense. A lot of bad things happened in this game. Vic Fangio talked about the loss and, you know, just how disappointing it was and what's the next step.
It was disappointing, obviously. We just didn't play well as a team to obviously give us a chance to win the game there. And, you know, the four turnovers, a kickoff return for a touchdown, you know, you're not going to beat a team like Kansas City doing that. And a couple of the other turnovers gave them good field position. But our whole team just got beat today by them. They're really good, and we weren't up to the challenge today.
Now, at first, the Broncos defense, they were getting run all over. The Chiefs, the first two possessions, even though one of them ended in a fumble, I still felt like the Chiefs were having their way. But the Broncos defense settled down from that point. After the fumble, it's kind of like that defense believed they could compete in this game. The problem was, you were running the ball well, but as soon as you called a play, Lock was going for the home run. And that ended more drives. He was sacked too many times. I mean, especially when, you know, it didn't look like, I mean, his pocket presence just didn't feel right, didn't seem right for the most part. I mean, look at this. Third down efficiency for the Chiefs, 0-for-8. That's phenomenal. The Broncos were 5-for-14. I mean, that's crazy. This defense, and I'm shocked by this because I thought the defense would be I thought it would be a weakness and that the offense would be a little better. I was the one who wasn't crazy about all the investments into the offense. And Pillify Dan on the text line, he brought up a point. He said, hey, I think where you and I are far off is that I never expected the Broncos to make the playoffs this year. So them going 2-7 or 3-6 isn't a shock to me. They were always a 6-10 team. Then why did you go out and pay a guy like Melvin Gordon a 2-year contract, and then you go out and you get A.J. Boye? I mean, you were making, so, you know, Jarrell Casey, who's out, but you still went and got him. You were making offseason moves that kind of felt like you thought you could get into the playoffs. And listen, I still think that's possible. I still think it's possible. I don't see that you're going to get in that position where Drew Lock is going for the home run. I'll tell you what, Colfax, and if I'm wrong, there you go. But this guy is going to come out much differently Sunday. I don't want him to avoid going deep. Now, he even talked to the media about that yesterday. He said, listen, I just got to pick my spots, and I was quite frankly going for it all the time. Got to get everybody involved. He admits it. Hopefully he learns from it. He actually learns from it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to learn from it. McLean says, we should have never gotten Peyton Manning, because now we just expect good offense, and that just doesn't happen for the Broncos. I mean, I'd take... Broncos country's kind of spoiled, but I think you're starting to get used to it. You're starting to get used to bad offense. I mean, it's 2020, Colfax. The Super Bowl was in 2015. I'm not a math whiz. Never claimed to be, but that's 5 years. No playoffs, and you're getting worse almost every year. 9-7, that was the good old days with Gary Kubiak, and they missed it by a game. Since then, you haven't really sniffed it. You have a chance to revive your season, though, and revive those playoff chances. And you know what? For a lot of the times, the Broncos usually did it against the Chargers. The last 2 years, even though the Broncos ultimately ended up being knocked so far out of it, it didn't matter with four games left, the Broncos, when they needed to get a win to stay relevant at least for three or four more weeks, they beat the Chargers the last 2 years. Brady, if you could change your 11-5 pick, what would it be now? Still going. If I could change it, I still think this team's over 500. Honestly. You don't want me to lie like I normally do. Let me look. Let's just break it down. I think the I know we're supposed to get predictions on Friday, but I think the Broncos beat the Chargers. I do. I mean, there's going to be a lot made up of this Justin Herbert, Drew Lock thing, but I think the Broncos will out. This defense is looking so much better now. Purcell being out, that's a big blow. I don't know how many more of these you can sustain. Did sign Sylvester Williams, so we'll see if he's ready to take up that next step. I mean, he had a big play last week. At Atlanta, got to think they're winning. Still feeling good about, you know, those games coming up. Vegas is going to be tough. Miami. So I think that, you know, they probably win three out of the four for sure. Well, not for sure, but that's where I'd go. But I give them a fighting chance against the Raiders. Saints I'm scared of. Chiefs I'm scared of. So now you're looking at, you know, there's six losses. At Carolina now suddenly becomes a tough game. Home against Buffalo is a tough game, although the Bills struggled with the Jets. 9-7. If I had to pick, redo it. I still see seven wins there. You know, Chargers, Atlanta, Miami. Boy. All right, I'll go 8-8. If you want me to be honest, we'll go 8-8. I'm going to stick by 11 and see how close I get. So far, I've got it right, save for the Titans. I think they're going to get a feel-good win against this Chargers team. Chargers are an interesting team. I think they're probably a below-average team at this stage. You know, they beat the Jags 39-29. That was a crazy game. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about Herbert and the fact that they competed against the Saints. I mean, they have some good things going for them. But I still like the Broncos at least at this point. Now, Herbert is playing. He's playing great. And this is why the pressure is on Drew Lock. See, this is what you may not have the luxury, Pillow Fight Dan. You may not have the luxury to say, oh, well, we're just going to, what else do we do? This is our only option. You might tank. That's an option. You might go free agency again, not with Case Keenum. Go with a guy that's actually a proven, decent free agent. I mean, those are going to be your options. Because, listen, Patrick Mahomes isn't getting any worse. You drafted an offense this last year that is basically trying to keep up with the Chiefs. So you're hoping that can be relatively soon. You know, you might not have the luxury, unless you completely want to lose pace and be the worst team in the division. Because the Raiders are at least content with Derek Carr. Chargers are very excited about their future, and the Chiefs have the best player in the NFL. 20 minutes after the hour, let me thank one of my great friends here over at SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is family and veteran-owned. And you've heard that interest rates are at all-time low, so now is probably the time to get rid of any consumer debt you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. Interest is not tax-deductible, and your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years with an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call them at 970-444-1222 or visit them at myspecialmortgage.com. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. When we come back, let me get to the best and the rest of the NFL, some other storylines playing out, and some great games, some crappy games, kind of a good mix over the weekend. We'll be right back.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Aside from the Broncos game, which I know it was the absolute worst case scenario. You lose 43-16. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, but we'll see. The rest of the league did press on, Colfax, and it was kind of an up and down weekend for the most part. Let's take a look at some of these games. How about the Lions-Falcons? I'm talking about Matthew Stafford, and maybe he doesn't have that it factor, but late in that game, no time on the clock, finds a way to get that last-second touchdown. The Lions win 23-22. Browns-Bengals. Joe Burrow is looking great and not a great team around. See, this is, again, he's only played like six games, and we know Joe Burrow's really, really good. I get it. His stock was way different than Drew Lock, but we know he's a stud. They couldn't get the job done against the Browns, though. The Bengals were running things. Baker Mayfield had a good game, a solid game at the end, came on strong. They lost OBJ, though, Odell Beckham Jr. Adam Schefter reports and Jacina Anderson report he is done for the season. So, rough one there for the Browns, who sit at 5-2, though, where the Bengals are 1-5. Steelers, Titans. This was a really fun game in the second half. Steelers were up 24-7 at the half. Titans marched all the way back and made this thing interesting. Derrick Henry had some great moments. He had some tough moments, too. The Steelers stood him up a few times. That Steelers defense is really, really good. Big Ben's playing well. James Conner's playing well. A.J. Brown for the Titans had a beautiful game. But ultimately, the Steelers remain undefeated, 6-0. And looking like a top team in the NFL. Panthers, Saints. Like I said, Panthers, they've become kind of a dangerous team, Teddy Bridgewater. They're now 3-4, though. Saints found a way again to win. They're 4-2. Not the exact start that they wanted, but Saints kind of a mixed bag at this stage. Drew Brees was 29 of 36, 287 yards, and two touchdowns. The Bills struggled mightily with the New York Jets. Jets were actually up at the half, 10-6, but the Bills put together 12 points in the second half. Kind of a Bills feeling type game, isn't it? That's kind of how the Bills win. Decent defense. Josh Allen doing some big things. I mean, he had 61 yards rushing, 300 yards passing. Bills win 18-10. Cowboys and the Washington football team. Wow. Cowboys have some major issues. The biggest issue, again, you lose, you're 2-5. Andy Dalton goes down. He's hit ridiculously hard. Goes in concussion protocol. On the field hurting. They walk about the field. No Dallas Cowboys, no member of the team, of the guys out on the field, actually walk up to and see how he's doing. Like, I'm watching this play out. Nobody looks concerned. No one is. I mean, your quarterback goes down. Somebody's usually flagging down somebody to come help. And Andy Dalton just lies there by himself. Cowboys have some major issues. And I don't see it getting fixed anytime soon. Packers and the Texans, Aaron Rodgers, after losses, usually he's pretty scary, pretty terrifying. Well, he's all right. Four touchdowns, no interceptions, didn't get sacked. Clean jersey for Mr. Rodgers, 23 of 34, 283 yards. What do the Texans do now? They're 1-6. They've had a really difficult schedule, but even in winnable games, they just can't get it done. Obviously, had a coach firing in the middle of the season. That usually means you're in a very tough spot. Look for Eric Bieniemy to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. The Buccaneers and the Raiders. Bucs just did Bucs things now, man. Their defense is very solid. And Tommy B is getting better. Colfax, tell me you played Tommy B in this one. Maybe. Well, Aaron Rodgers had 4 touchdowns, too. So, either way, I think you made it.
I had Tommy B.
You had Tommy B. 369 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a rushing touchdown, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Tom. That's what he does. Just when you think, you know, you got him all figured out, he finds a way. I mean, Tom Brady is that good. Yeah, he got the 1 rushing touchdown. He accounted for 5 touchdowns, Colfax. I don't know if you're doing the quick math there, but 4 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdowns, 5. Tom Brady's there. Rob Gronkowski put together a good game. And they're climbing the ranks as far as quarterback receiver duo. Bucks win 45-20. I get it. The Raiders were in a weird spot. Their whole offensive line is in turmoil. But the Bucks walked away and won that one pretty easily, especially in that fourth quarter, 21-3. 49ers and the Patriots. Jimmy Garoppolo, 277 yards. He had 2 interceptions, but the Patriots just don't look right. Cam Newton even admitted, you know what? If something doesn't happen, I'll be in jeopardy of losing my job. Suddenly, the Pats are 2-4, and the Bucs are 5-2. Tom Brady, 5. Belichick, 2. Who's better, the chicken or the egg? I think the egg, so far, is better, if you know what I mean. Jaguars, Chargers. AFC West battle. This was interesting. Chargers were up early in this one. Jags marched right back. Chargers scored 20 points in the third. Justin Herbert, 27-43, 347 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Chargers looking pretty good. They have their quarterback. Even in losses, they've looked okay. But they've finally figured out how to complete a football game. They get the win. Seahawks, Cardinals. That game was back and forth. Cardinals are an underrated team, but they need some respect. And I tell you, Kyler Murray is so much fun to watch. He is a blast. He had 67 yards rushing and a touchdown. He had 360 yards passing, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Cardinals win in overtime, 37-34. Russell Wilson comes back down to earth. He throws 3 interceptions versus 3 touchdowns. Russell was running away with the MVP race. That certainly pulled him back. The thing that I want to point out in this game, though, he almost had a pick 6. DK Metcalf is a freak of nature. He's 10-plus yards behind and is able to run down the defender. It was absolutely insane. He chases him down, saves a pick 6. But Seattle loses their first game, and Arizona is now a force to be reckoned with. We'll see what happens tonight on Monday Night Football. Suddenly, Colfax, this game seems kind of interesting, doesn't it? You're looking at a Bears team that replaced their quarterback a few weeks ago, and a Rams team, you're wondering, oh man, all that Super Bowl magic from a couple years back is completely gone now. Not so fast. The Rams are 4-2. The Bears are 5-1. Jared Goff is throwing for about 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns. So this actually has the makings of being a pretty decent Monday night. So I'm excited about it. Some of the big things to take away, yeah, that Andy Dalton thing was just tough. I mean, do they not like him? They don't know him. They don't care. They don't care about the season. They don't care about anything. Who's the best team in the NFL right now? Think about that, Hooligans. Is it the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is it the Chiefs? How far away is Tampa Bay on that side of things? I mean, you got to think the Steelers are right there. Chiefs are there. Finding ways to win. Packers are pretty good. They've got the 1 loss, but they're still really good. They bounced back, scoring 35 against the Texans. Heating up. The great teams are finding ways to win. Even when they struggle on 1 week, they bounce right back. And it's so far, some of these teams we thought would be in the mix are rising to the top. 34 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Monday on Mornings with Gale, an update on fire activity in Northern Colorado and beyond, and a review of some of those pesky ballot measures. Join us 6 to 9, 1310 KFKA.
Auto Tailor takes care of my vehicles. They'll take care of yours, too. Everything revolves around technology, so Auto Tailor knows that having skilled technicians paired up with cutting-edge vehicle diagnostics is just as important. Their vehicle diagnostics are advanced and, more importantly, accurate. Whether your engine is making that clunking noise or whatever, you know, your brakes maybe starting to go kaput, or you just need a routine checkup, that's Auto Tailor. I trust them with my vehicles. I know folks here at the radio station do as well. And you will, too. That's Auto Tailor in Greeley. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Crucial time coming up for Drew Locke. And, you know, a lot of texters and folks on social media are saying the same thing, or some of you are saying the same thing, like, what's the alternative? What's the plan here? What else are you going to do? It's Drew Locke. You got to go the season here. I mean, unless you think Brett Rypien is somebody that we need to learn more about, and I like Brett Rypien, but I don't know that I'm ready to go there. You know, you go Drew Locke through the bulk of this season, and if you're 2-3 games left and you're so far out of it, then maybe you see what he's got. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question, though. Based on what you've seen, I know it's 8 games. Is Drew Locke the franchise quarterback? Go with your gut. I mean, what does your gut tell you? I want to know. Do you really think that? Are you just trying to be optimistic because, you know, the Broncos are here and you don't want to see another quarterback and you want to see some patience here? Does your gut tell you that he's Justin Herbert, that he's Patrick Mahomes, that he's Derek Carr? Because that's the division you're in. AFC West, likely the best division in football, or at least darn close. You have to ask yourself that. You know, Chris Carter once said, if you're not doing it to win the Super Bowl, you're wasting your time. I get that they're young, but you have to ask, how long is that going to take? Is next year you're going to see the strides being taken? And again, these next 4 games will tell us a lot about the Broncos. It'll tell us whether this team has a fighting chance and should keep pressing on, or whether this team maybe should consider not trying their hardest. Oh, that never happens. Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, you're going to have to work really hard, though, to tank underneath what the Jets are doing. So, that might not be already without Sam Darnold. And the Jets already been here. So you don't want to become the Jets. You don't want to become the Browns. I get that. That's why I'm saying, yes, I do think he is. But my mind could be changed on that in 4 weeks. Never has a 4-week stretch been so critical to a quarterback, to a head coach, to a general manager, to a franchise. They could very well be in the thick of things in the playoff race, in the AFC race, by the time we get out of this next month, by the time we are, you know, around Thanksgiving. Ben says, I don't think anyone can be a franchise anything with Vic Fangio as the head coach. We've all talked about our frustrations with Fangio. There's no doubt he's building up a defense that's, in my mind, I still think this defense is overachieving, which is, you know, it's saying a lot about Vic. He got A.J. Boye back yesterday, and it took a little while, but the defense finally settled. They settled down after about 2 possessions. And they were the strength of that team yesterday. Everything else went to hell. Kelly says, Elway couldn't read defenses in year 2 either. You got to be careful with that. You got to be careful with Elway wasn't great in his first 2 years. That's John Elway. I mean, that guy turned out to be the greatest guy. And you know what? The investment was great, too, as far as the draft. The pressure on John Elway to start his career was so ridiculous. And again, Drew Locke didn't come in until late last year with no pressure. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Is Drew Locke the franchise quarterback? Keith says, honestly, Locke reminds me of Tommy Maddox. All the physical skills, but not ready to lead an NFL team yet. Maybe in a few years after just getting more experience and decision-making skills. Well, unfortunately for John Elway, you don't really... Do you have a few years? And maybe Broncos country does. Maybe you guys, we all have that luxury of waiting around and saying, okay, well, 2 years they'll be competitive. You're looking at, let's see, Kubiak was the one, Vance Joseph was two, Vic Fangio. This would be the fifth year. And if you're saying a couple of years, so next year, you're looking at potentially a 6 to 7 year playoff drought. That's bad business now. Now you're talking about bad business. The Broncos have never been in this position. They've never been like this. That's why, no matter what, Broncos Sunday, there's a study like 10 years ago that you could tell when it was halftime in Denver because all of the toilets flushing. Seriously, that was the thing because everybody knew it was halftime. We're going to go handle our business. That's because this team never has a strand of losing. You know, they lose, they have a bad year, and then they're back. They at least make the playoffs, or they're a 500 team. They're never awful. They're never the laughing stock. They're never Jets territory. But if you don't recover in these next four games, you're in that territory, and what does that do ultimately? Like, we could talk football and X's and O's and, oh, give them time, give them time, give them time. It is still a business. And you made some signings in the offseason, to me, that didn't say that you're all about the rebuild. You're more about the retool. And you think that you can win 9, 10, 11 games this season to get back into the playoffs. You hired a 60-year-old head coach. Time's not necessarily on your side, folks. I mean, I get it if you go for broke. And okay, and you say, like, there's two ways to go. You go with an old coach. You're going with a free agent quarterback. Like, this, we're going to put it all. We're going to piece this whole thing together. Joe Flacco, that was the idea last year, right? That was the idea. We're going to get an old coach. We're going to get a quarterback like Joe Flacco. We're going to bring in Mike Munchak, help that offensive line out. And here we go. We're going to try. That didn't work. Okay, so fine. We're going to keep the same head coach. We're going to go this route with a young guy. A lot of young guys in the draft. We're going to go Jerry Jeudy in that. Which, again, as a rookie, it's going to take time for him to develop, but we thought he'd have a much better rookie year, didn't we, Jerry Jeudy? If you draft a guy in the first round, don't you expect him to be a big part of your team? I mean, just ask the Raiders and Henry Ruggs. First Advantage text line, 31996. So if you're going the route of, oh, we're young, then why didn't the Broncos go that route 2 years ago and hire a young coach that could grow with the team? That's what I'm saying, is you don't have 5 years. You're all saying, oh, well, it's going to take time. It's going to take 2 to 3 years. Melvin Gordon won't be around. Von Miller's long gone, though. What are you doing with guys like Kareem Jackson in 2 to 3 years? What does that contract look like? I mean, Garrett Bowles, you have a decision to make there, too, believe it or not. That becomes a big decision. So, no, I don't. You might. Yeah, you have the luxury of this year. This year was supposed to be the find-out year. And if you don't make the playoffs and you miss it by a significant amount of games, I think that's fair to say Drew Locke was a contributor in that. Do you have your question answered? Drew Locke's not the future? Or do you load it up again next year and hope that everybody's healthy and COVID-free and all that stuff, and then you go in with a preseason? I'll admit, preseason's hurt the Broncos, but we're now advanced enough in the regular season where everybody's kind of caught up to everybody as far as, you know, knowing their playbooks, knowing their game plans. 48 minutes after the hour, we'll do a quick break here and we'll wrap up the show with closing thoughts. We're going to wrap up Broncos Chiefs. Time to move on. That was a blank show, but now it's time to move on. Get ready for the Chargers because that game has a lot of meaning to it. Your season could be on the line Sunday as a part of a big stretch of games in the month of November. We'll be right back.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail. Weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Colfax, it's time to turn the page. Broncos, Chiefs was not what Broncos country was really hoping for. At least wanted to make that competitive. But it was a game I figured they'd lose anyway. It's now time to move on. You've got the Los Angeles Chargers. And they're trying to fight and claw their way back into this AFC West. You know, they see the Raiders lose yesterday, and they're trying to see how close they can get second place. And who knows? I mean, I still think the Chiefs are going to have to, you know, really screw up to lose this division. It seemed realistic Friday, but of course the Chiefs, that's what great teams do. Even when their offense isn't firing on every cylinder, they recover in different ways. Defensively, special teams, I mean, they found ways to win. That's what great teams do. And bad teams find ways to lose, even when a portion or a unit is playing well, and that's what the Broncos did. Right now, the Broncos are a bad team. I had them around 2-4, 3-3, depending on how you want to look at it with the schedule changes. This is where the test comes. For me, to be honest with you, this is where I said the Broncos would recover this coming weekend, starting with the Chargers. And it was supposed to start with Miami. Miami was in between, excuse me. It was in between the Chargers or the Chiefs and Patriots game. A lot to be told still about Drew Lock and about Vic Fangio as a head coach. We don't have the whole story in front of us. That's why we have the whole show. Okay. Had to do it once, Colfax. Had to do it once, man. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it. It's Top Text Tuesday. Sir Charles is the only hooligan that could win the Nuggets gift package tomorrow. He's the only one. Rest of you, good luck. Bring your best stuff. I want this Top Text Tuesday to shine. Good night, Northern Colorado.